category. I have to question is having three martinis too much? Well, if you ask the question, that means it's probably too much.
Hello once again. It is Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin, episode 21. No idea why I'm talking like that. This is like take four. I've had three false starts already. Couldn't unmute the microphone on one of them. On another one, I just kind of, I started coughing. Excuse me while I drink coffee there. And the third one, I was just not comfortable with it. This isn't any better. I don't know why. Thing about the false starts is that if I had just kept going at this point, I'd be one third of the way through the podcast. But no, I'm like, no, we got to do this right. Do we though? Does it matter? You guys are here anyway, or you're not. It was funny. I got a notification on Facebook from the podcast website that was like, people might be, you know, keep your page up to date. People might be searching for this podcast online. Yeah, they're not. They're not searching for it. They either know where it is and they're going to listen to it, or they're not. How weird would it be if one week I just like decided I would just dump a bunch of money and start sponsoring, do sponsor page, and start really marketing this motherfucker. Like, how strange would that be? Totally uncharacteristic. I'd be that asshole that has the sponsored Instagram posts that just pop up into people's feed. They're like, who the fuck? Why is there a picture of a cat? I don't even like cats. How did this show up in my feed? You know, stuff like that. Also, if you don't like cats, sorry about all the pictures of my cat on the podcast episodes. I'm not sorry. This week, I'm not going to. I'm going to take a picture of the shirt I'm wearing that I got for my birthday that I finally got because I had to meet my friend who bought it for me. It's my new favorite shirt. It's a Lopan. It's a Lopan t-shirt. You see it. If you're listening to this, you see the picture, but it's you know, Big Trouble in Little China villain. Really dating myself, but I love that fucking movie. So what are we going to talk about today? I don't know. No, I do. I have some things, but I don't know what I want to get into other than I'm doing something I didn't think I would do. I'm going to get a credit card. And I realized when I jumped on the computer the other, like yesterday or the day before, I was like, you know what? I am going to get the credit card. I've got a reason, you know, but also to build credit, I guess. Like, my credit's fine, but like to add, I also need a credit card because as I get older, at some point, something's going to happen that I'm going to need to make a purchase. Life is going to happen, so I may need a credit card for emergency purposes and also to use for purchasing online that I can just pay back right away and it builds your credit or some shit. Like I saw a speech about it by the guy from the movie Catch Me If You Can is based on, did this whole talk, and it was really interesting, just talking about how buying using a credit card versus just paying cash, like you get nothing from it other than the purchase. That he convinced me, but I didn't act on it, but I'm acting on it now. But the point is that I realized that I've never had a credit card that I applied for and got. So I like jumped online and went, the fuck am I going to get a credit card? Like, I didn't know who, you know, like the only advertisements I get, I throw the mail away and I don't get that many credit card advertisements in the mail anymore. Now, even they stopped using it, which is really weird that you guys, that podcasters like really promote their their sponsor when it's stamps.com. It's like, you know what? If you use stamps.com, it's totally way more convenient, you know, for all those letters you mail all the time. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's really, it's the weirdest sponsor, the United States Postal Service. I don't know. It's strange. So the only credit card ads I get on a regular basis is from Bank of America, and I'm not going to fucking get a credit card from them. Like, I already bank with them, and I know you're like, yeah, but they're evil. Yeah, well, they happen to be the only evil corporation that would give me an account. I have a track record. But, so I'm going to have to figure out where to get a credit card and I'm going to have to really, like, take the time to sit down and read, you know, and compare, you know, okay, are these guys screwing me? You know, who's going to screw me the least amount with this thing? And it's strange to me because I've had credit cards in the past, but I, like, was given a credit card when I got married. And then in divorce, I was assigned one of the credit cards, the one with the most money on it, because that's divorce. So I had a credit card, and then I decided not to pay them when they wouldn't. It was like Bank One, and I decided I'm not going to pay because I wanted to put off a payment for a month because they wouldn't work with me at all because that's not what they do. And so I went, well, you're never going to hear from me again, and I'm never going to pay you. So I didn't pay Bank One their 10 grand. 10 grand, by the way. I'm like, ah, what are you going to do? Come after me? Come after me. They didn't come after me. Or they couldn't find me. Regardless, it's been 14 years, so fuck them. Doesn't matter. They went under anyway. Actually, they didn't go under. They got they're part of J.P. Morgan and Morgan Chase, along with Washington Mutual, who had my mortgage. And if you go to J.P. Morgan Chase's Wikipedia page and look in the section controversies, there's 19 parts to it. So, 10 grand. Take that. I did more damage to them than Occupy Wall Street. Who's the activist now? This guy, the guy who didn't want to pay. All you got to do is just not care about your credit for a few years. That's all you got to do. Just take the bullet, pay in cash, ride it out, and you'll be fine. Also, don't take financial advice from me. Anyway, what was I saying? Credit card. It doesn't matter. But credit cards. So we'll see what happens there. That's the big news for me this week. John's going to get a credit card. It's a really busy news week in the Rabin compound. Also, I got to go get groceries today. That's the other thing. I'm out of groceries. And I was thinking about it. What's really, my parents were teachers. So, like, they really pinched pennies, like, with shopping, like, with groceries. And so we didn't get a lot of name brand food, and that really stuck with me now when I buy groceries, because I buy things that we didn't get to have because they were too expensive. And some things made sense. All right, like mom would get the off brand cereal, like in a bag instead of the box of like Frosted Flakes, which is the same. Off-brand Frosted Flakes is just as good as Frosted Flakes. That makes sense. But she'd get like the Hill Country Fair or the H-E-B brand sliced cheese instead of Kraft. That's bullshit. That is not the same. Kraft American slices are better. I mean, I'm not saying they're healthier. I'm just saying they taste better than the... And it's not the difference in price. Are you kidding me? What's like an extra dollar? Well, let's save a dollar for 30 slices of inferior sandwiches. That's insane. Pay the extra dollar. It's like getting the off-brand mac and cheese instead of Kraft mac and cheese. So it's like inferior cheese powder on your mac and cheese, and you think it doesn't matter? It matters. That's why when I get paper towels, you know those really fancy paper towels where like it's like cloth? Yeah, it's a little bit more expensive, but it's not that much more expensive. It's like getting really rough toilet paper instead of buying the soft stuff for 50 extra cents. Why would you wipe your ass with sandpaper because you want to save $2? Are you out of your goddamn mind? Some things you got to invest in. Just, you got to, I don't get it. I've been really playing a lot of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds online on Xbox. I've been really playing that game a lot. Battle Royale game. The original Battle Royale game. Not Fortnite. That stupid cartoony game. Nah, this is some real shit, I guess. I never thought I would. I never thought I would play people online. You know, I didn't want to feel that bad about myself. But no, I really like the game. I really like battling against 99 other people. Also, I found that the best time to play for me is like between 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., 5 p.m., sometime in between there on my days off, which is Monday through Wednesday. That's the best time for me to play. And it made sense because that's the time when kids are in school, as opposed to them being home kicking the shit out of me online. Like, you play on weekends or like at night, and that's when like the shut-ins who aren't at working or whatever, that's when the shut-ins with no lives and the kids that aren't doing anything because they're kids are online, and they're really, really good. And they make you just feel like you don't know anything. You're just like, man, these guys are just beating the shit out of me every game. So, play in the early afternoon. It's just you and scrubs. It's great. If you don't like games, I don't know what to tell you. But on the opposite end of that spectrum, my fantasy football team, I am 9-1. We are kicking ass. We. The players actually doing the work, and then me at home in my underwear are playing so well this year. All right. What was the other thing? Oh, yeah. You know how people talk about how the nuclear apocalypse happened? How they hope that they died immediately or like they wouldn't be able to last? I've got to concur. They wouldn't be able to last. No, I don't think I would last either, but not because of what they think. You know, I think a lot of people think that they don't have survival skills. I have survival skills. I know how to stay alive. And it sounds like a joke, but Boy Scouts taught me a lot of shit too. Like, and just in general, and life and things that I've done to myself, being a junkie will teach you how to survive too. It's amazing what you can deal with. So my junkie skills, my Boy Scout skills, and just general skills, I could stay alive, maybe. But I think I wouldn't though. Like on paper I could, but I think I wouldn't because of something really, really dumb. And I learned it when we were when Austin was going through our water crisis, and crisis loosely. It just meant that you had to boil water, and people lost their minds and went to the stores and bought all those bottles of water. 72 bottles of water, really, Kyle? And it was that I realized that I. You know, the thing that I realized was that I would rather have diarrhea than boil water. It's like, that, you know, it's something I'm used to anyway. Like, that mindset is why I think I, in a nuclear apocalypse, why I think I would eventually die because of something stupid like, I don't want to wear a hazmat suit. You look dumb. Like, I think that really is what I would, I'll be fine. I survived alcoholism and heroin addiction. I don't need to wear a hazmat suit. Like, it was that kind of mentality when Bluebell had that listeria thing and everyone was like, throw away your Bluebell. And I was like, fuck you. I'm eating my Bluebell. I'm not worried about a little listeria. Forgetting that irony exists. And the huge irony there would be if I survived alcoholism, cigarettes, and heroin, and yet ice cream kills me. It's like ice cream did it. People would not be able to giggle. Not be able to not giggle. Anyway, they would be chuckling at my funeral if I died because of fucking ice cream. It would be ridiculous. So, but I thought about that's probably what would happen. Also, I don't think we're going to ever have a huge apocalypse. I think it'll be gradual. Like this boiling water thing, I think that's just, it's the first time that they've ever had a boil notice for Austin. And I think that's just a sign of things to come where it's going to be little by little. You have to do this. You need to do this. Make sure you rinse off your, you know, you gotta scrub your, this food product. Oh, you gotta do this. You know, make sure you microwave this. You know, just all this. I think it's gonna be gradual. I don't think it's just gonna, and now we're here in the, you know, Mad Max. I think that it's gonna really, I think it'll be gradual. And at some point, I'm just not gonna do stuff. I'm like, nobody looks cool in a hazmat suit. That's exactly my mentality. I don't use an umbrella. You know what I mean? And it's not a macho thing. It's just like, nah, you don't look cool wearing, you know, carrying around an umbrella. You know, I'm just like, I'm not Mary Poppins. I don't want to. So you get wet? Yeah, I get rained on. Or I don't go stand outside. That's for one thing. But, you know, yeah. I'd rather get rained on than carry around an umbrella. And I don't know why. It's not, it's just, you don't look cool with an umbrella. It's, I'm not right. But it's there, and that's who I am. So, yeah. That's what's going to happen. Just a couple more things, really, that I wanted to talk about. So I read in the news that Kentucky, hey, I'm doing a podcast here, kitty. All right, if you hear a meow in the back, just, she's fine. By the way, she's been fed. So she's meowing, there's nothing that she needs. Attention, she's a sociopath. She doesn't need it. She just, you know, she knows I'm paying attention to you guys and not her. That's fine. She does the same shit when I'm on the phone. Anyway, so Kentucky noted that there was there's been a decrease in heroin ODs over the past year. So that's some good news. But there's an increase in meth and other drugs. So I think that all that means is that so heroin's not trending again. So it's decreasing. You know, it goes in cycles. So I guess you know, the whole opioid crisis has gotten people thinking about it. So they're moving on to other drugs because life is still hard. The big thing, though, that I saw is there's an organization in New Hampshire called Safe Harbor, and they're doing a thing that I think should spread to more people. That's a really good idea, even though it's a good idea in theory. I don't know in practice how effective it'll be, but what the idea is that they are providing testing strips for fentanyl. And it's for people, because a lot of the times when people OD, we don't know if they were taking, like, it has a list of what they found in their system. And fentanyl is like a big one in so many cases, including that rapper Mac Miller that had fentanyl in his system. And that's the thing, is that it's not, you know, it's bad enough. I mean, some people are trying it because it's easier to get, and it's, you know, they're attracted to it. It's, you know, 50 times more potent than heroin, which I've mentioned before, but I'll mention it again. It's more potent. That doesn't mean that you get 50 times higher. It's just more dangerous. It'll kill you easier. But the thing is that a lot of people, it'd be interesting to know how many of those people that OD'd knew that they were taking fentanyl. Like, that was, you know, it's presumptuous to think that they took that as well as the other drugs, because it's never just fentanyl. It's like there's like multiple drugs, and fentanyl was also in the system. And the thing is that a lot of the times what's happening is people are putting, dealers are putting, or the manufacturers are putting fentanyl in, like with heroin, or even with other things like meth, which is weird. Like, just to, they're basically tainting the drugs to make up for the fact that it's shitty drugs. Because a lot, you know, the quality of drugs varies. If you try getting heroin on a regular basis, how strong and you know, how different it is varies from day to day. So, you know, sometimes for a while you get the same batch, so it's consistent, but not for long. It just varies, and it's a matter of what it's being cut with, what's been added to expand it, you know, because it's all about money. It's not about safety ever, of course. So testing strips would allow users and addicts to test their drugs so they know if there's fentanyl in it and what they're about to do. The problem with that, and I say that in theory, that that's a good idea, because drug addicts are not necessarily known for doing, you know, if you're a really down to the dumps addict, if you're headed down, you do not give a shit about safety. It's why people reuse their same needles. You know, it's not like, you know, at some point they stop using alcohol swabs when they're using drugs every time. Like you start loosening up how safe you're gonna be. So the idea that somebody who's strung out is going to take the time to test everything, and then if they test it and there is fentanyl in it, go, well, I'm not going to do it. They're not going to throw the drug away. Now the testing strip, now knowing that there's fentanyl in it, maybe you back off and you don't do your normal amount. But at least you know, it's giving you the information, and then you can decide. And the thing is that that's an easy, not a solution, but that's an easy thing to combat overdoses. And I've only read, that's the first I've read about it, that it was New Hampshire. So one state. So hopefully this catches on, because we, you know, at this point, they're not stopping China and whoever else, because it's manufactured. You can manufacture fentanyl anywhere. You know, it's not like having to grow poppies. So it's, you know, that I do. Oh, yeah. I did want to mention, if you hear about, like, I mean, overall, I say just, you know, man, stay clear of fentanyl. Just it's not worth it. It's, unless you're trying to kill yourself. But it's, yeah, I would stay clear. There are still, I mean, it's still an effective painkiller. So if you're prescribed, if you're dealing with some serious ailments, you know, and like through the hospital and, you know, through a doctor, and you get a prescription for like fentanyl, like legit fentanyl prescriptions, like patches. So it's slow release and stuff like that. Don't, you know, don't freak out and throw stuff away and accuse your physician of trying to kill you, because it's still an effective, like if it's used, like anything, if it's used correctly, it's effective. And so like fentanyl patches, if used as, you know, use the directions, is still good. But man, recreational, stay clear. Like it's, do drugs that will kill you less. Or don't do them. No, but really, stay the fuck away from fentanyl. I don't think I can ever say that enough, you guys. But that's everything I wanted to talk about this week. I think, yeah, I think that's going to about do it. I hope you guys stay warm out there. I wonder if this is a sign of what kind of winter we're looking forward to, which is a cold-ass one. At least we can bust out our coats and our winter clothes. But stay warm out there. I'll see you guys next week. I'm John Raven. Later.
Red wine, a little smoke, a whole lot of loving. That's all I need. Make it through the night.